Blog Talk Radio.
It is me. It is I, Sugarlicious. Tonight, I have a very special guest that's a very good friend of mine that plays Second Life. And for those of you who don't know about Second Life, then, of course, you know, you wouldn't really know what was going on. But she's going to talk about a real life foundation that she is passionate about. It's called the Wave of Life Ceremony for MISS Foundation. This is something that happens on October 15th, and it is an honor of pregnancy loss, infant death, which includes miscarriages, stillbirths, SIDS, and death of newborns. Again, she's extremely passionate about this. I know when she and I spoke when she was at one point, we were talking about it, and maybe to fall in love with her more because it's something she's so passionate about. Without further ado, without further putting her on hold, because I know she is probably anxious to talk to you as well as I'm anxious to talk to her, let's pull her out. Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, my pleasure. Definitely my pleasure. I was telling the audience a little bit about what the Life Ceremony is, the Wave of Life Ceremony is of the MISS Foundation, but I am not the one to talk about it. I want to put that in your lap. Maybe you can explain to the audience and to the listeners what this is about.
I will be more than happy to. The MISS Foundation is an organization that it gives information and support, and they also do research to help women figure out why women are having these miscarriages, why they're having these stillbirths. They support these women in every aspect of the loss of a child. The MISS Foundation supports the pregnancy and infant loss to its fullest. They actually were an organization that, after I lost my son, that I actually was able to get in touch with, and they were able to help me get in touch with people near me and were able to support me in whatever I needed. They gave me a place to go and just, you know, grieve and be able to express myself. So that is what the MISS Foundation does. It supports women and their families. It's not just about the women. It's about their families as well because, you know, my husband, you know, he grieves just as much as I do. He may grieve in a different way, but he grieves just as much as I do. And it's a great organization that does great things for this cause.
Now, Drew, this happens actually once a year, correct? What date does this normally take place?
The Wave of Light Ceremony is a ceremony that they do in October, and it's done on October the 15th. And it is where basically you light a candle at 7 o'clock your time. You leave that candle lit for exactly 1 hour. And that while that candle's lit, you just kind of sit and remember a child that you have lost or that somebody you know has lost. And at 8 o'clock, you blow yours out. But as you're blowing yours out, somebody else around the world is lighting theirs. And that's why they call it the Wave of Light Ceremony, because it's kind of a wave of light just around the world.
Right.
And not only do they do the candle lighting ceremonies, but they do walks. I was looking, I try to kind of keep up going on with it as far as walks in my area and things like that. But there, I know this weekend, the 14th, they're doing a walk in Atlanta, Georgia. So, you know, for those that live in Atlanta, if you want to go out and support, you can go out on the 14th. And it's actually, I'll get you the website if you want to go and just find out more information about it. But, you know, there's always ways to check and see what's going on in your area to find
right.
out, you know, if there's any candle lighting ceremonies or anything like that. And I guarantee you somewhere near you they do have those candle lighting ceremonies. Pregnancy and infant loss, this is actually Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. So the whole month of October is devoted to pregnancy and infant loss. It's not just on the 15th. 15th is just a key day that they choose to do this wave of light ceremony. So, but like I said, it's a great cause. It's a wonderful cause. Like I said, you know, I myself have lost a child. I've lost several, but I lost one to stillbirth.
Right.
And that is probably the hardest thing that I will ever have to go through in my life. That, I mean, you just don't bury your child before you, you know, bury yourself. That's just not supposed
right.
to happen.
Right.
And in this cause is so hidden because I think everybody is so scared to talk about it. You know, it's something that kind of taboo. You just don't talk about it. You know, it's not something that you just go out and freely express.
Right, exactly.
And I know in my little town where, you know, I live and stuff, I actually started up for every year on October the 15th. I held a candle lighting ceremony in my town because there wasn't one. Everybody was kind of like, you know, I'm glad you finally did this because there wasn't anything here. So, you know, with me, it goes really deep. And I just want to share that with everybody because not everybody knows exactly what this is.
How long has it been? Has it been available for people to have the Wave of Life ceremony? Because you're the first person I've ever heard even discuss it. That's how I found out about it, is actually through you. And I was, like, really, you know, happy that someone was actually, you know, giving some type of honor to these, you know, these children, into their parents and to family members, as you said, or even someone that you know. How long has this been going on with the Wave of Life?
Since 2002. So it is something that is fairly new. I mean, it's not new, but,
right.
you know, it's been in the last, you know, 13 years at least.
Right.
So it actually, they started doing them in 2002, and they have continued. And as each year goes on, it gets bigger and bigger, which is great because I'm glad to see that, because that just means that there's more people learning about it, you know.
Right, exactly.
There was the lady that actually started this was called Robin Baer, and she actually lost a child as well. And if you ever look up her name, you will probably find her story of her child. And it will probably take you to, she does jewelry and things like that, and that helps also raise money for the Pregnancy Infant Loss and the Miss Foundation. But she does the jewelry and the bears and little just different things for mothers and fathers and grandparents. And, you know, my son even has a bracelet, like one of those little rubber bracelets. I call them silicone bracelets, whatever you want to call them. But it says
right.
little brother to an angel. And he wears that, around this time of the year. Because, you know, September, the end of September and October are kind of my months to kind of, you know, really remember, you know, my child. And
right.
And he remembers him just as, you know, he's never met him. but he has seen pictures. He has talked. He talks about him. He says, you know, he tells people, I have a big brother in heaven, you know. So he knows, and he knows these things, you know, and it affects everybody, you know. It doesn't just affect the mom, you know, even though it's probably the hardest on the mom because she carried that child, but it's hard on everybody. You know, it is difficult on everybody.
I can only imagine, because I'm sure that, you know, especially if you're, you know, you're getting ready for a birth of a child, it's like a big event and everybody's excited about it. You know, grandparents are excited, siblings, you know, uncles, aunts, everybody. And for that to happen, it's like a shock. I'm sure everybody is in shock of it. And you're right, it doesn't just affect the mother. The mother is affected the most, but I think it affects everyone, you know, the father, the grandparents, because this was a life that you were celebrating and you want to share and want to, you know, be a part of. And then for that no longer to happen, you know, it has to be a hard thing for everyone. This year, you said you had did it prior. Are you going to do it again this year?
I actually handed it over because I handed it over a couple of years back because I was finishing up school and I had all of the finishing up school stuff, and then we were moving and things like that. So I handed it over to somebody else. I plan on doing my own little candle ceremony here at home with my family. And then we also are doing one in World as well. We're doing one we're going to start the event at 6 o'clock, and then at 7 o'clock we're going to light our candles and continue to you know, hang out and dance and have some fun. And at 8 o'clock we will blow our candles out. So we are doing that on Wednesday night from 6 to 8 SLP. So we would love to have anybody that would like to come out and light a candle in memory of somebody's child or their own that they have lost. And, you know, I'll do my own at 7 o'clock here at home. So, you know, but I wish everybody would do it just, you know, because I'm sure it affects everybody. There's not, I guarantee you, there is not one person in Second Life, real life, everywhere that, you know, has not experienced it in some form or fashion, you know.
Right, exactly.
If you haven't experienced it yourself, you know somebody who has.
Right,
and, that, you know, that's the thing, it touches everybody. It's not, it's just not talked about. It's something that's not, you know, it's not talked about.
I think it's not talked about because it's emotional. I really do. I think it's because it's such an emotional thing. You know, when you talk about, you know, parents, you kind of can talk about it and you can relate to others. But when it comes to a child, I think it's harder because it's so emotional.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, I could sit here and continue to cry my eyes out every single day for my child. But I'm doing the things that makes me happy and know that I'm doing the right thing, you know.
Right.
And when Snow Angel gave me the opportunity to make one of the Miss Foundation one of our philanthropies, I was ecstatic because I knew that I was going to take this somewhere. It wasn't going to be just, you know, it wasn't going to be just some random, you know. It was going to blossom, and it has. It already has. With every person I talk to, it grows.
You said you're going to be doing it in Second Life. How can, if anyone wants to do that, I'm sure you're going to post it on your feed, but how would they get, you know where it's at or be able to participate in this? How would they, where would they go? What would they know? You have anything that is, because if someone's not your friend that's listening in, how would they be able to, you know, to go there and join into this?
Well, they could hit up any of the sisters, first off of Beta Sigma Delta. They also, they can go into our group, that the Beta Sigma Delta information, 411 group, and they can join that and learn anything about this organization. But they can hit me up. I mean, anybody can hit me up and say, hey, you know, I may not be your friend, but, you know, can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Right.
And I'll be more than happy. You know, any of the sisters will be happy to help you, but I will be more than happy to help you with any questions that you have. But we do have the 411 group for Eta Sigma Delta, which is we'll give out information about the event. I will be posting it. I will pass it on to you and to, you know, a few other people that I know that will get it out there to others that may not be on my friends list. But most definitely just hit me up because I will be more than happy to help with anything.
And if you do want to contact you and make her friend, it's D-R-U, and last name is C as in Cat, L as in Adam, B Victory, E, N as in Nancy. And, again, as she said, she would, you know, be more than happy to, you know, to let you know where it's at. And because I really, like I said, I heard the passion in your voice in regards to it. And it was something that I was so, you know, honored that you asked me, you know, to let people know about this, because it's like you said, it's something that affects everyone, but a lot of people want to keep it, you know, in silence. I remember my mother, I might as well say the same thing that your little man says. I have a sister in heaven as well, because my mother had lost a child. Like I said, it affected me once I got older. When I was younger, I really didn't understand it, but once I got older and she talked about it, I was like, wow, you know, I had a little sister and didn't even, you know it. So it does affect you. You may not even know someone in your family, but somewhere, you know, it affects somebody that I'm sure that you know. And this is something that, you know, in honoring of these children and the parents and grandparents, siblings, uncles, aunts, friends, this is something I'm so, you know, happy that someone is doing something about it, because you need a place to talk. You need a place to be vocal and to share. And I'm sure that a lot of, you know, women and even men, I'm sure, share at, you know, at that time. Now, when you did it at your, you know, in your hometown, were there a lot of people that were there?
The first year we had, I think, about 15 show up, because I was starting. I wasn't even expecting that. I was expecting fewer than that, but we had about 15 show up, and then the next year it got larger, and the next year it got larger, and then, you know, I handed it over, but it got larger as the years went on. I actually made the newspaper. They did an article on me.
Wonderful.
For starting there. So, I mean, it was, you know, they called me a town hero, and I was like, I don't feel myself as a hero. I feel like I am somebody that's trying to help other people not have to go through what I had to go through. Because when I lost my son, and it was a difficult time for me, because we were 38 weeks. We went in for an ultrasound. We were scheduled for a C-section because he had turned the week before. He had been head down, decided he wanted to turn. So we were scheduled for a C-section, and we were supposed to have it that week. And so we were going in for our final ultrasound, and they told us, that, you know, they said, hold on one second. I'm out of tape on this little screen thing. Okay. And, you know, I wasn't thinking anything, you know, my husband wasn't thinking anything. We thought, oh, they're just out of the film, you know, that they need to take pictures, right? And next thing I know, the doctor's coming in, and they're telling us, we're sorry, your son's gone.
Oh, wow.
That was, I'm like, no, y'all are lying. No. And I mean, you know, that to me was hard. And I'm hard is not even the word for it, because it. And then the nurse looked at me and told me I needed to quit crying because there was other patients out in the waiting room.
What?
This is just some of the things that women have to go through, especially with losing a child. So then they tell us, you know, be back at the hospital. We wanted some time to just let the family know, you know, say a little prayer, that kind of thing, just to be by ourselves. So we told them we would come back to the hospital a little bit later to deliver our son.
Oh, my goodness.
And, of course, you know, we went back, family came, everybody was there, and we did deliver our son. I don't remember a lot of it because they had me so sedated that I don't even remember holding him, which is hard for me to deal with because that's something I should have been able to remember. Yeah.
Right.
Everybody else, you know, remembers it. You know, they remember holding him and all of that. But me, I just don't remember it because of being so sedated. But nurses were very rude. They did not really, I don't think they really knew how to deal with something like that. I don't think that they, the nurses that were there, knew how to really deal with somebody who had had a loss.
For being rude. That's you're still a human being. That's no excuse for
right.
being rude.
Right. But that's the way they dealt with things. And then, you know, we got to bury our son. Somebody donated a casket, so we buried our child and had a funeral and all of that. And, of course, friends and family were like, well, he's in a better place. And that's probably the worst thing that you could have said to me at that given
right.
time. Because I was like,
exactly.
No, he's not, you know.
Exactly.
And you're like sitting there going, just get out of my face. And I even snapped at my father-in-law. I told him, get off my property, out of my house. Didn't want to see him ever again. You know, I had to go back and apologize later on because I knew that it was just my emotions. And ultimately now, yes, I know that he had a greater purpose. And
right.
that purpose was for me to be strong enough to help other women. But it even got worse because when I lost my son, they did not give you a birth certificate. Even though he had lived for 38 weeks, you never got a birth certificate because he didn't take a breath outside of the womb, is what they said.
So that's why they don't. Okay. I never even knew that. I never knew that.
And then they sent me a death certificate, but it had writing and red stamps all over it. And I was like, I just lost it because I'm like, not only have I lost my child, but I can't even have something that is part of him, you know, because
right.
that was something that was near, that would have made me a little bit more calm about it. At least I could have said, okay, this is this, you know,
right.
the final, this is it. But I had to fight them about getting one that didn't have the stamps all over it. And I said, okay, I understand you having to protect, making sure that nobody's going to steal this child's identity and this and that and the other, but put the stamps on the side. Don't put it over the baby's name. Don't put it over, you know. And it was hard because they finally did send me one. And it still had the red stamps on there, and it still had the writing. But they did send it with the red stamps, not as many of them. So at least I could see his name and things like that.
Right.
So, you know, and each year on September 29th, I curl up in my little corner and I, you know, I do whatever I need to do to deal with that day. And, you know, I have a blessing now because I have a son. And
he's gorgeous, by the
way.
I see the picture of him. He is gorgeous. Yes, he is gorgeous.
But, you know, he comes and gives me a hug, and he knows when mommy's down. And he comes, and he'll give me a hug and tell me he loves me. And I continue to fight for him and for me and for my son Devin, because without him, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you now. So without losing him, I would not be sitting here talking to you about this organization. I wouldn't be here. So I thank him every day for coming into my life and making a difference.
I love that. I don't know if I could ever imagine what you're going through, but you have a lot of courage, and I've told you that before, because I just adore your courage, because I'm sure there's a lot of women out there that would love to know that there's someone out there that goes through the same thing that they've gone through, and, you know, I'm sure you've touched a lot of people, and you're going to, you know, because you have been a strength, you know, not only for yourself, like you said, you do cry on, you know, on his birthday, but you still have at least the knowledge that you are making a difference and that you can speak out to other women and help them along the way. And I love you so much for that. I really, really do. I really do.
Well, thank you. And, you know, like I said, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Devin. I wouldn't be here. So
exactly.
I owe him that, all of that. But if you don't mind, can I read a poem?
Yes, you can. We have 3 minutes. You can do it in three. Let's do it.
I can do it in 3 minutes. This
Let's
is a poem that somebody gave it to me after I lost my son. It says, Daddy, please don't look so sad. Mama, please don't cry, because I am in the arms of Jesus, and he sings me lullabies. Please try not to question God. Don't think he is unkind. Don't think he sent me to you, and then he changed his mind. You see, I am a special child, and I'm needed up above. I'm the special gift you gave him, the product of your love. I'll always be there with you and watch the sky at night. Find the brightest star that's gleaming and my halo's brilliant light. You'll see me in the morning frost that missed your window pane. That's me in the summer showers. I'll be dancing in the rain. When you feel a little breeze from a gentle wind that blows, that's me. I'll be there planting a kiss on your nose. When you see a child playing and your heart feels a little tug, that's me. I'll be there giving your heart a hug. So, Daddy, please don't look so sad. Mama, don't you cry. I'm in the arms of Jesus, and he sings me lullaby.
Okay, and I know I did not want to cry, but that touched me. Thank you so much for sharing your story, and thank you for sharing that poem. Everyone, I'm too emotional to go on right now, but thank you, and as always, sugar kisses.